Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Monday, brand new week. Week 13 of the 80th Nevada Legislature. A guy who was in Carson City last week and had a chance to survey the damage, so to speak, of what they're doing up in Carson City. Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Victor, you are back. Tell me what you learned last week.
Well, it's all going to come down to the money. I think that was my big takeaway. They have a lot more they want to spend than they actually have money for, and that's not unusual. But I think what is odd is, you know, everyone kind of assumed that, you know, well, Democrats have full control. They just, you know, push a lot of things through. They you know, spend on their priorities. But what we found out is that the programs that are in place, like the Medicaid expansion, are sucking up more and more of the budget. And so even with record high tax revenues, they don't have enough money to go around.
Tell me this then. So explain, there is a point in the legislative process where they end up getting a number from and I forget what the name of the government agency is, but they get the number that's going to be the revenue number. This is what's coming in. Have we gotten to that point? Do we know what that number is yet?
That is it happens May 1st. It's the economic forum. It's a meeting of economists, and they predict basically how much tax revenue the state's going to take in. And that's going to happen on Wednesday, and that's going to be a big day because we're going to find out. You know, that basically this is what happens is, you know, the governor presents his budget, spends all the money. Legislators have their own ideas about how to spend money, and then they hope that the economic forum comes in and gives them an extra, you know, $200-300 million. But I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, the economic forum basically thought that the next year was going to be good, and then they saw some slower growth happening in year two of the budget cycle. And I don't think that's really going to change. So it will be interesting. You know, certainly that could be you know, basically a piece of magic that just dumps free money on them. But we'll see if that actually happens.
I'm just curious, though, if is there any evidence that there is a gap between Governor Sisolak and his Democrat led legislature? I mean, are there problems in paradise lurking ahead?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you define problems. But certainly there are members of the Democrat caucus that want to be more aggressive. I mean, you've seen a bill, the comprehensive sex ed bill, die without even coming up for a floor vote. I mean, that's been a big Democrat priority, and they didn't get it passed. You're seeing things with the minimum wage, where, you know, there's the debate about, well, $12 or $15, and they're sitting at $12 an hour now, and some of the more progressive groups are actually opposing it because they want it to get to $15 an hour. So you are seeing some divisions among the Democrats between the far left and the left, and I think that will continue.
Sanctuary states was another one that essentially died. Is it permanently dead, or is it like Freddy Krueger with a hand coming up out of the ground? And any thoughts that sanctuary states may not be dead?
Well, I mean, it is dead. The reality is that no bill is dead until the session is over, because there are things like emergency bills. They can amend a bill that's about something, you know, related but not that, and they can put that language in there. So there are always ways to bring ideas back. But at this point, the bill that it was is dead.
Let me ask you, let's say we get to Wednesday and we find out that, no, there's not a huge surplus. And in fact, there is a deficit of, $40 million, $80 million, whatever. What methods can they use? What devices can they use to shore that money up, to find that extra money?
They could always raise taxes. That's the easiest one, or not the easiest one, but that's the most direct one. They could cut proposed spending. It may come to that. You know, what I heard when I was up in Carson City is you know, fiscal act doesn't want to include a tax increase. Now, he's included an extension of a tax that he's going to try and claim isn't a tax. But, you know, to go beyond that would you know, be a violation of the pledge he made in his State of the State address. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how he squares that no new tax pledge with the reality that, you know, they don't have enough money.
I am curious, though. So if he goes to the legislature for a tax increase, he needs 2/3 majority in both houses. He doesn't have 2/3 in the Senate. And I guess my question is, have you talked with Republicans? Are they going to stay the course? Are they going to adhere to their belief that we're not going to have new taxes?
Well, you know, at the moment, everyone in the Republican caucus is you know, confident and unified. And I think part of that just comes from being such a small caucus. They have only one vote more than 1/3 in the Senate. And they know that, you know, if they splinter, they're toast. I mean, they don't have any leverage. And the thing that actually makes me somewhat more confident is that the two most moderate members of that caucus, Heidi Gansert and Ben Kiekheffer, are both seemingly positioning themselves to run for Mark Amadei's seat whenever Mark Amadei steps down. And I think that will actually give them a strong motive to oppose a tax increase. Especially one where, you know, it looked like they were the ones that sold out the rest of the caucus.
And by the way, just a quick note that I had Mark Amadei in studio last week. In fact, I believe it was last Monday, and I asked him that very question. He said, "Nope, I'm gonna be here for the foreseeable future until they want to throw me out." So don't look for Mark Amadei. I mean, I gave him all kinds of offers. You want to run for governor? You want to come back? You want to be a congressman? Or maybe you want to run for the Senate? And he said, "No, I'm just going to stay right where I am." Don't be surprised if he sticks around. So outside of simply raising a new tax or raising an existing tax, is there any other sleight of hand bond issues or anything like that, or letting county commissions?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to take money from local governments. I mean, one thing they might be able to do is take some money from the transportation fund and move it to the general fund. And so maybe it'll come to that, and they'll rely on that to try and juice the revenue base. But, I mean, really, their options are pretty limited. And, you know, Republicans, what they want is they want more money for opportunity scholarships, more tax credits for that. And so, you know, again, that's a revenue hit. And so it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, if Democrats think they need to negotiate, and if so, what those negotiations look like.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, just back from a week in Carson City. And has there been any evidence while you were there that the governor is visible? Is he a hands-on governor? Any indication of what this new governor is all about, and his MO, if you will, for dealing with members of the legislature? Is he? Do you see people going in and out of his office?
You know, it's interesting. I would say he's certainly more hands-on than Governor Sandoval. You know, Governor Sandoval basically, you know, sat in the governor's mansion, and it was an honor for legislators, or that's how it, you know, he made it seem. It was an honor for legislators to just be invited to come talk to him. And Sisolak's been more open. You know, he's done more in terms of being at the legislative building. But, you know, my impression is that the Democrat leaders are kind of having a hard time getting a read on him, that there's really uncertainty even among the Democrat Party about what he's really looking for. And you see that especially on things like collective bargaining for state workers, where, you know, this is this big Democrat priority for years and years, and now the price tag has come in. And they're not going to have to pay it this budget cycle, but next budget cycle, it would be a significant financial burden. And I think there's a real question among Democrat legislators if the governor really wants them to pass that or not.
I'm curious if there are other items like that, other issues like that, that you know, we talked about some of the bills that are dead, where the issues are, we think, dead. But are there some issues still hanging fire right now that Republicans are going to have to stay together on? And maybe get some help from their Democrat friends.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the one that comes to mind is there was a property tax constitutional amendment that passed last legislative session, and so constitutional amendments need to be passed twice, and then they go to the voters, and they haven't brought it up yet this session, which I found to be very, very curious. And it's a property tax increase, you know, and so maybe the legislators are getting a little spooked about that. You know, that's never an easy thing to run on. But, you know, they have not been as aggressive as they could have been, which, you know, is a really good thing from a conservative perspective. It's not to say that they've passed good things, but they could have passed things that were a lot worse.
I want to ask you about the Democrats, because those are the ones I really worry about. There are some very, very liberal, flaming liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call them, socialists, that are in the legislature there. And I'm curious, have they started throwing their weight around at all?
You know, they certainly tried, but I think you have to say that they're being restrained to some extent by the leadership. I mean, Speaker Frierson, you know, I would label as more of a traditional liberal. And then, you know, you had Kelvin Atkinson, who I think everyone expected would be kind of the more liberal of the two leaders, and he's gone because he was stealing campaign funds for his personal use. And, you know, Senator Cannizzaro, I think, has to be a little more considerate of both sides of the aisle because she's in a swing district, even though she's the majority leader. And it's also just her second session, so, you know, she's running it without a whole lot of experience, and I think that may be maybe slowing them down as well.
More coming up with Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. It is Monday. It is live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun, it's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway, I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
All of us live in the desert, and yet many homeowners take trees on their property for granted. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Why are trees important to you and your family? Well, they're a major part of the huge investment you've made in your home. For many families, trees provide something in short supply across the Las Vegas Valley. It's called shade. If you're a homeowner with trees on your property, you need to check out my friends at Mr. Tree Service. Mr. Tree is a licensed Nevada State contractor. Certified arborist Joe Noriega and his amazing team of full-time tree care professionals can prune to bring out the safety, health, and beauty of your trees. Mr. Tree Service has the size and experience to do the big jobs right. They're perfect for HOAs and commercial assignments. Check out Mr. Tree Service at MrTreeLV.com or get a free quote by calling 702-401-6277. That's 702-401-6277. All across the Las Vegas Valley, it's Mr. Tree Service.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association, we are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
Are you seeking a career change? Are you a motivated self-starter with solid computer skills and radio board operating experience? Well, the folks here at 790 Talk Now are expanding. They're in the midst of a valley-wide search for the best and brightest radio production talent. If you want to help produce Live and Local Now and other 790 Talk Now programming, I want you as a part of our Royce International Broadcasting team. For more information, call Debbie McKay at 760-851-9447. That number again, 760-851-9447.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Victor Jenks joining us. Three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I know Republicans met over the weekend up in Washoe County, and I guess my question is, a lot of people are wondering, are Republicans going to be able to bounce back from a lackluster 2018 election and the 2016 election that saw Hillary beat the president. What is your sense of the, I guess we'd call it the state of the Republican Party here in the state of Nevada?
Well, it's not great. I mean, I think folks need to, you know, be aware that the president is a very polarizing figure, and in places like Indiana, in Ohio, that's been really good for the Republican Party, and in places like Nevada, it hasn't been. He doesn't appeal to suburban women. He doesn't appeal to minority voters, and we've got a lot of those in Nevada, and they've not responded positively. And I think it's going to be tough for the Republican Party in the foreseeable future. And I think that it needs to, the mindset needs to change from, well, what do we do for the next 2 years, to how do we educate folks about what Republicans stand for, what conservative values are, and how do we get those voters in the next 6 to 8 years. So I think folks who think, well, we'll just fix it in 2020, I think that's a little naive.
One of the things that I think is going to be interesting, as we move forward, is are we going to be able to get everybody on the same page? I get a sense there is discord.
Yeah, well, I think there's definitely discord, and you look at former Governor Sandoval and what happened under his watch. Republicans had a surprise majority and complete control of the legislature in 2015. And instead of using it to pass needed labor reforms, needed education reforms, they passed the largest tax increase in state history. And that certainly divided the party. And it should have. Because Republicans stand for low taxes. They stand for limited government. And instead of doing that, the leader of the party pushed an agenda that was completely the opposite of that. And so I think that's been very destructive. And you don't just recover from that, unfortunately, and I think we're seeing part of the effects of that.
It's always good having you. Have a good week. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, look forward to it, Kevin. Thank you.
That's Victor Jenks, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Up next, another edition of Nevada Voices.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, communications director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
Coming up tomorrow, at 10 o'clock, Tommy White's going to give us an update on the Raiders Stadium project. Every day when I drive by there on the I-15, I see something new that I didn't see a couple of days before. It's amazing the progress they're making on it. But they still have July 2020 is the end date. That's when they're supposed to hand over the stadium to the Stadium Commission. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
It ain't me. It ain't me. 790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
In case you missed it, Saturday was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and it was over the last couple of years, it has been rather tame because the president wasn't there. The president doing what he did last year, and that is being out of town at a rally in the heartland, and that's what he did Saturday. In fact, the president went to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Let's go to cut two, because this Saturday rally was vintage Trump. It included the mention of illegal immigration, and I want you to listen to the president, and it's amazing how this president is so powerful out on the stump. This is his speech in lieu of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He was in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Last month alone, 100,000 illegal immigrants arrived at our borders, placing a massive strain on communities and schools and hospitals and public resources like nobody's ever seen before. Now, we're sending many of them to sanctuary cities. Thank you very much. They're not too happy about it. I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea, but it's horrible. No. Hey. What did they say? We want them. I said, we'll give them to you. Thank you. They said, we don't want them. Yet while wealthy liberals preach open borders, they live behind gates and guards. They send their families to the best doctors and private schools. And while pushing immigration policies that drain the public services, everyday citizens depend on you, and they depend on you. I depend on you because we can change our immigration laws. I used to say in 45 minutes, it's really 15 minutes. It's so simple, but we need Democrats to vote on it. Otherwise, we can't change it.
I want you to hear. I mean, you see how this crowd adores this president. I want you to hear from Katrina Pearson. She is. I guess her official title is a senior advisor to the 2020 Trump reelect campaign. And the decision to skip the White House Correspondents' Dinner and instead go to the rally in Green Bay, not really surprising for this president.
President Trump knows his gut instinct is always to be with the people. That's why he always sides with the people, and his policies put the people first. And I think, you know, snubbing the White House Correspondents' Dinner really wasn't a snub. It's just his way of saying, you know, I'd rather be out here telling you all of my accomplishments because those folks at the dinner have no intentions of telling you the truth about what we've been able to accomplish here in the Trump administration.
And Katrina, Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, entered the race this week. There are reports that Joe Biden is the candidate that President Trump fears the most. Is that the case?
I don't know if you've ever met President Trump, but President Trump doesn't fear anyone or anything for any reason. He has a very clear record of keeping his campaign promises and fighting to keep those promises, regardless of who he's fighting against. And Joe Biden is a has-been. He is somebody who has been in office for a very long time with nothing to show for it. I understand why the Democrats want to support him. But he's starting his campaign out on a racial hoax, number one. Number two, hired someone who says that the party shouldn't be led by white men. So you're going to have a candidate who really hasn't had his media vetting in a situation like this up against a candidate who is very strong, very tough, and very committed to the people of this country and to this nation's security. And Joe Biden is not, he's not ready for what he's about to get into.
That's Katrina Pearson. You're going to be hearing more from her. She is a national spokesperson and the senior advisor to the Trump 2020 reelect campaign. Now, another surrogate for the president is Kellyanne Conway. In fact, tell you what let's do. Let's go to cut five. I'm going to see if I can squeeze this in before we go to break. She was on with Jake Tapper yesterday, State of the Union, and criticized Joe Biden for the Charlottesville references in the presidential campaign rollout. A lot of people thought that was an odd way to unveil your candidacy with numerous references to Charlottesville in that presidential campaign rollout. This was Kellyanne Conway battling with ace nemesis Jake Tapper. This was from yesterday's State of the Union.
For Joe Biden, who's been in public life, who was elected at 29, to come out and have no vision, no accountability for the Obama-Biden record, didn't even mention President Obama, but mentions Charlottesville to try to use that for political purposes.
President Trump said he thought his response to Charlottesville was perfect. Gary Cohn, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, Cory Gardner, all loyal to President Trump.
You don't want to talk about that because you want to pretend, respectfully.
You keep bringing up Charlottesville.
No, I didn't. You want to pretend. No, I was very happy on Friday or Thursday.
You brought
or Friday.
Up Charlottesville.
No,
I did not.
I was very happy on Thursday or Friday that you finally came out and said
it's
he wasn't
finally.
Talking
I've been
about.
Saying it from the whole time.
But we're talking about white supremacy. We're talking about neo-Nazis. We're talking about President
Trump. Was President Trump's response
on Charlottesville
perfect?
But I'm also talking about hate everywhere.
Was his response perfect? Yes or no?
I think it was twisted for many years.
Was his response?
Purposes.
He said his response on Charlottesville was perfect.
Because he knows, because intent matters. And he was talking about.
Was his response perfect? Gary Cohn doesn't think his response was perfect. Do you
Gary
think
Gary Cohn stayed in the White House for many months after that?
But he almost resigned.
I think the
do
president.
Do you think, just it's a very simple question.
No, it's not a simple
yes
question.
Yes or no,
it's a very
was President
topic.
Trump's response perfect?
When President Trump condemned racism, bigotry, evil, violence, and then took it many steps further and called out neo-Nazis, white supremacists,
was
KKK.
Was his response perfect?
That is darn near perfection when you're calling
so yes.
out. No, when you're calling out KKK, neo-Nazis, and you're saying there were people there who hadn't signed up for that. There were people there.
You know
for
that President Trump left an
all white
ambiguity.
Supremacy,
and-
all neo-Nazis, all anti-Christianity, all anti-Semitism, all anti-Muslim activity should be condemned dead stop full. That's the perfect response.
Anti-Muslim activity. The president
but
called for a
arguing?
Full
but what are we
ban
about?
On Muslims entering the United
it looks like,
States.
It looks like you and others looking at 2020 are worried that this guy can't be beaten fairly and squarely. Why does Joe Biden come out and not say one thing about
you,
his
Kellyanne.
Senate race? No,
Kellyanne,
it's not beneath
that comment
me.
Is beneath you.
Why would Joe Biden bring that up?
That
why is he using
you?
Charlottesville to launch a candidacy as somebody who was in the Senate for decades, who was vice president for 8 years, just 0 for 2 running for president
Trump's
while Donald
response
Trump
response on Charlottesville was perfect?
I think that we're going to move on because I've talked a lot about white supremacy, neo-Nazi, KKK, and this
but,
president's
but
announcement.
It's just a yes or no question.
But see, how is this helping to stop the next shooter, this entire conversation where I'm saying the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the
his
world.
His response last night was unambiguous and clear.
He said hate crime before he even got on the plane to
unequivocal,
Wisconsin.
His response to Charlottesville, according to Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, Cory Gardner, Gary Cohn,
all of whom
was
with him
not,
after that,
was not unequivocal.
And you
so
think,
that you because you brought it up, so I'm pointing
it
out.
Bring it
these
up.
Loyal supporters of the president did not think his answer on Charlottesville was perfect.
I think any time a president is willing to condemn people who hate other people based on their race or their religion, it's a great day for America, and that's what he did, and he did
the
it several times.
The president called for a ban on all Muslims entering the United States.
So you want to revisit all of you want to revisit all of that. He.
I want to revisit a proposal
no,
offered by the
no,
president.
No, because you don't want to talk about things that are going to get help this president get reelected, like the strong economy. The
let's talk about the economy.
GDP,
let's talk about the economy.
Too, even though you had people in your own network saying it's going to be 1% or less.
I think Kellyanne Conway is amazing. Why she subjects herself to Chris Cuomo and yesterday Jake Tapper is beyond me. By the way, the president, I think, did exactly the right thing. Yesterday he spoke with the rabbi injured in the mass shooting targeting the Shabbat of Poway outside of San Diego, a synagogue. He offered his support. He spoke by phone with the Rabbi Goldstein to offer his comfort and condolences on behalf of the nation. In a statement, quote, the president expressed his love for the Jewish people and the entire community of Poway. The president also thanked the brave members of law enforcement who acted swiftly, including the off-duty Border Patrol agent who stopped the shooter. The rabbi confirmed the call to reporters earlier Sunday, saying Trump spoke about his love of peace, Israel, and Judaism during the conversation. The gunman killed Lori Gilbert Kay. She's being buried today. Who authorities said stepped in front of Goldstein as he attempted to evacuate children. Just more incredible stories that come out of these mass shootings. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Las Vegas Cyclery, featuring kids' bikes, affordable hybrids, mountain bikes, and Las Vegas Cyclery has a wide variety of the latest e-bikes. For those of you who want to ride again, but you have some physical limitations, check them out, LasVegasCyclery.com. That's LasVegasCyclery.com. Stick around. We got a bunch to do. Coming up top of the hour. Very excited. And by the way, I'm gonna find out what he thinks about education. One of the big things when he was running for governor, Jared Fisher talked a lot about education. And we'll get a chance to talk about it. It's one of my favorite subjects. We'll get a chance to talk about it as well coming up just after 11 o'clock. Jared Fisher from Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday, brand new week, right here, live and local now.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association, we are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Did I have a great weekend? I hope you had a great weekend as well. Went to the Real MMA And man, they had some great fights. Great fights at Sam's Town on Friday night. The Real MMA, really, really good stuff. I had a lot of fun there. Was there with my buddy Wayne Allen Root. We were hanging out. And Cindy, and it was just a lot of fun. It really honestly was. Then yesterday I started the day off at, Saturday, started the day off at Ichabod's, had a great breakfast. And by the way, this hour of Live and Local Now is brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. Then on Saturday I had a hoot. I went to the Las Vegas Rotary Club and their annual fundraiser. At Celebrity Cars, saw the Tupac death car, and it was a lot of fun. They had a great event, well attended, well organized. To Jackie Thornhill, the president elect, and everybody that was out there on Saturday night at Celebrity Cars, it was just a lot of fun. Really, it really was. This was one of those weekends where you say, "Now that is fun." By the way, I came upon something that I wanted you to hear. Maria Bartiromo does a show called Sunday Futures. Now, many of you may not be up in time to see it. You may be sleeping in, and that's fine. The promise we always make on the Sunday shows, we'll watch them for you. You sleep in, you go to brunch, you go to church, whatever. Doesn't matter. And then we'll bring you the best of the Sunday shows on Monday morning. If you agree to tune in, it's kind of the bargain that we make with you. Now, the president made it onto Maria Bartiromo's show, and he came upon something that I had not even thought about. And I spent a lot of time thinking about these issues like illegal immigration. But it occurred to me that one of the things the president said really resonated with me. This was not at the rally on Saturday night. This was Sunday morning. And it involves illegal immigration and the booming economy. This was one I had not even thought about. This is cut number 4, by the way. That a booming economy has become a magnet, kind of a contributing factor, if you will, to our problems with illegal immigration. Here it is.
Our laws are so bad, the combination of having a great economy and having the weakest immigration laws anywhere in the world by far, and we have catch and release, and we have chain migration and visa lottery. We have things that nobody in their right mind would have. We're trying to get rid of them. The Democrats won't do it. Now, we need some Democrat votes. We're unanimous with the Republicans, but we need some Democrat votes, and they go out of their way to allow these people to come in. And when you get acute, when you get tough, when you do all of these things that we have to do, they end up arresting Border Patrol people. It's a disgrace to our country what's going on. The worst immigration laws ever. Incompetent. They're there for a long time. When they used to separate children, which was done during the Obama administration with Bush, with us, with everybody, far fewer people would come. And we've been on a humane basis. It was pretty bad. We go out and we stop the separation. The problem is you have 10 times more people coming up with their families. It's like Disneyland now. You know, before you'd get separated, so people would say, let's not go up. Now you don't get separated. And, you know, while that sounds nice and all, what happens is you have 10 times more families coming up because they're not going to be separated from their children. So it turned out to be a disincentive.
That's right.
That
yes.
is obviously a disaster. It's a disaster. You have people coming up with many children.
And we've seen it firsthand.
Now we know where everybody is, and we're moving people out so fast. The problem is we have to register them. We have to bring them to court. Another country just says, sorry, you can't come into our country, and they walk them out. In our country, you have to bring him to court. You have to have Perry Mason involved. I mean, you know, it's all legal. You have lawyers standing at the border. Yeah. Our people, lawyers, wise guys, standing at the border, signing people up. Every time they catch a cold, they try and blame Border Patrol. It's a disgrace what's going on, and it could be solved in 15 minutes if the Democrats would give us the votes. Well, it would be over.
That was the president with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Futures on Fox News Channel. You know what it's time for now? It's time now for another edition of Nevada Voices.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
I'm John Sarpalis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit NevadaPolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's NevadaPolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
Okay, coming up, Jared Fisher ran for governor. One of his key issues, I thought he did a great job of articulating issues. And one of the issues that was high on his list was that of education. Now, if you've listened to this radio program for more than 35 minutes on any given day, you know that at some point we always circle back to education. And teachers are talking about they need more money. There's even talk among some teachers or those in the union of a potential strike. Are we doing right by our teachers? Do we need to be doing more for our teachers? You know, the whole notion of teachers having to buy their own pencils and arts and crafts and things like that, that they have to spend their own money, that's wrong. We'll talk about what's right with teachers, what's wrong about teachers, and everything in between. With Jared Fisher from Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. It is Monday, brand new week. Also week 13 of the 80th Nevada Legislature. Oh, and did I mention bottom of the hour? We'll get to your phone calls, our wall-to-wall free-for-all. Yeah, we'll get to all of that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue live and local now.
Mexican food you like. Come celebrate the taste and fresh selection of classic Mexican plates.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso! That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's Taco Shop. You can choose from over 100 family recipes, each prepared hot and fresh every day. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available. A commitment to quality and service that will never be compromised. Ah, it's going to be a glorious day at Roberto's. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop with 50 convenient locations serving you.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like. Oh, yeah.